Support for this KQED podcast comes from Stanford Blood Center. Stanford Blood Center is a proud supporter of KQED and encourages you to support local patients by donating blood. Learn more at bloodcenter.stanford.edu.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, a San Francisco mobile security firm uncovered a bug that leaves about 80% of the world's Android smartphones vulnerable to hacks via text message. The computer flaw, nicknamed Stage Fright, is being called one of the worst security holes to date. We'll talk about it, and then at 9:30, the killing of a popular lion in Zimbabwe by a Minnesota dentist on a hunting trip has reignited the debate over big game trophy hunting. The dentist reportedly paid $50,000 to hunt the lion, and it was illegally lured out of the protected zone of a national park. We'll discuss the trophy hunting and why some hunters say it helps with animal conservation. Forum is next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. A serious flaw in Android operating systems nicknamed Stage Fright was discovered earlier this month by a local San Francisco mobile security firm called Zimperium. The bug allows hackers to break into any user's Android phone simply by using the phone number and sending a malware-infected text message, giving hackers access to data and photos and the ability to hijack the phone's camera and microphone. And there are an estimated 950 million users at risk. In this opening Forum segment, we discuss the recently uncovered Android flaw and what it means for users, which include, by the way, world leaders, government officials, company officers and executives, and so forth. And let me tell you who's joining us for the discussion of this half hour. In studio is Aarti Shahani. She's a tech reporter for National Public Radio. She covered the recent story, actually broke it, on the Android hack. Welcome and congratulations.
Thanks.
Andrew Blaich is also here in studio. He's a lead security analyst with Blue Box Security, which is based in San Francisco. And welcome. Good morning to you.
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you both for being here. Let me begin, Aarti, with you. This is pretty serious stuff. I mean, big risk here in terms of this big hole in the software, and it can occur, as I understand it, with absolute silence. You may not even see anything.
I mean, that's what really got me about it. I get a lot of emails from security researchers who find lots of different kinds of flaws, and this one really stood out. A man named Joshua Drake, who's a researcher with Zimperium, found it. And what stood out is he said, I found a set of vulnerabilities, some bad code that leaves the entire operating system open to attack. And so if I send a text message with a video attachment, I can embed into that video attachment, he explained. I could embed
it without even you having to open it.
Without you having to open it because of the way that your smartphone processes rich media when it receives it. So you can get the text message and your phone is immediately putting it into your library, into your gallery. You don't notice it's there. So presumably the hacker could send it to you. It would process into your library, the hacker would take control of your phone, and then the hacker could just delete that text message so you never even knew that you got it. So it's a really powerful kind of flaw because it goes to the very heart of Android, which is the most popular operating system on Earth, 80% of smartphones in the world.
It's about a billion or close to
it.
And all it's needed is the phone number.
Yeah? That's it.
The mobile phone number.
That's what he explained.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, there are patches. Let's talk to the security guy here, Andrew Blaich. And Google's put out a statement, and some other operators are kind of cooling their heels and not doing anything, though a few have operated at least toward patches. Where are we on all that?
So we're kind of new into the patch cycle right now, basically. So Google was notified approximately about 100 days ago when this was first disclosed responsibly to them by the original researchers. And since then, you know, Google had the chance to develop the patches. They also had assistance from the researcher with the patches on to apply. And then kind of in that process, Google then goes and develops the patch and then releases it to their manufacturers, their OEM partners, essentially. So your Samsungs, your Motorolas, your LGs, your HTCs. And then it's up to them at that point to go ahead and patch the vulnerability. And then typically what happens is a 90-day window is allowed from the time that it's mentioned to Google till when the researcher can actually disclose it publicly to everybody. And that's kind of where we are now, where it's being talked about publicly and manufacturers are actually in the process now of taking this patch, applying it, and getting it out to devices. The issue, though, is that there are so many different versions of Android that are out in the ecosystem, so many different manufacturers, and then so many different devices from those manufacturers that they have to go and backport the patch and fill and push it down to all these different devices.
And who's going to fix it? Because there's blame going around for everybody. They're passing the potato here. I mean, phone manufacturer, the carrier.
There is a very interesting backstory to how this is happening, actually, which is that, you know, manufacturers, basically, Google finds out in April. They told me last week before we ran the stories, we were reporting it. They said we notified partners immediately about this. Mm-hmm. But fast forward, and we're basically end of July, entering August. Google itself, which produces Nexus, did not have a date for its patch until the story broke. And then they had to say, oh, okay, we're going to, starting next week, start to patch this. So you see in-house with the very company that says, hey, we're letting our partners know, their manufacturing team on smartphones, not exactly having the date on hand. And then, you know, with Samsung, for example, I found it interesting. Like, I'm a Samsung user, and I wanted to know from them, when do I get a patch? And it's not a simple patch, right? Like, the reason manufacturers have to be involved is because the problem is so deep, it goes into what's called the firmware, right? The read-only code of the smartphone. So you need the manufacturer to step in and fix it. And it took quite a while for Samsung to finally say, after they had, you know, bad media attention, okay, we're going to pay attention to this. So, you know, I think that this issue of that you kind of needed the media hype to get the manufacturers to care, which is, I think, a recurring issue in cybersecurity. It's a fundamental problem.
Certainly something, Andrew, yeah, you face a lot, I'm sure, in cybersecurity, as Arthi is suggesting. But what do you tell users now? I mean, in terms of just really good advice or wise advice at this juncture?
So wise advice in this juncture is to always apply system updates when they're made available to your phone. They'll take some time to come out there. Manufacturers will actually go back and patch their older devices. We've definitely seen this happen with previous vulnerabilities, even ones that Blue Box has discovered in past years. They'll take many, many months to do so, but they will patch these, especially if it's of high vulnerability, especially like this one is. So patching is one of your first things you want to be doing. The second thing is because the really popular way of exploiting this silently is the MMS technique, is that if you are using your phone for text messaging and MMSing, to go and disable the ability to auto-download media in your messaging app.
And Google's giving a security update next week?
Google has said that they will release a security update for their Nexus phones. So in essence, Google is a manufacturer in that sense, in that they have a brand of phones that they have to release a patch to as well. And they have several different generations that they'll have to patch against this vulnerability.
There's a lot of potential for exploitation here. I mean, we're not seeing that yet, but that's a reality.
So we haven't seen exploitation publicly disclosed yet. What we do know is that the where in the code that the patch has been applied, people are aware now of where it is. So opportunistic attackers will now start to look at that and figure out how to develop exploits against it. And then – or they'll wait until they actually see the exploit demonstrated next week in Vegas at Black Hat, essentially. So we'll see a long tail to this as well, because it takes a very long time to patch these devices and get the updates out there. And you'll definitely see like there are hacking groups out there that find these exploits, batch them, and sell them out, and also use them. So the recent Hacking Team stuff, if you, a lot of the information that came out with that is they're collecting these exploits, they're checking these out, and they're going, packaging them, and then using them to deliver their product as well. So we will see a long tail with this, and we probably will eventually start to see exploitation of this.
Andrew Blatch here in studio with us, and so is Arthi Shahani. She is tech reporter for NPR and covered this, broke the story about the Android hack. And Andrew Blatch is lead security analyst with Blue Box Security, which is based in San Francisco. This is only a half-hour segment. I know there are many of you have questions and concerns, so let me open up the phone lines and invite your participation. Any questions or comments, in fact, are welcome now. You can call us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786, and the time to call would now be now. Again, Android bug is leaving about 950 million phones vulnerable to hackers. We don't want to cause too much alarm here, but this is simply saying it like it is. And again, you can join us with your concerns or questions at 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post questions or comments or concerns onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQEDForum, and we'll go to your calls and emails forthwith here. Just a quick question, really, for either or both of you. Some are saying the takeaway is this is a Zoom. You should just assume the worst, zero, where your devices are concerned.
No. don't think that that's the takeaway. I mean, that would be too easy, right? Like, oh, hands up in the air. There's nothing we can do. But the fact is you've got companies that have budgets and that, you know, presumably as you're working in a software economy, you develop life cycles where you're regularly fixing your stuff. So it's not just specific to smartphones. We also saw this week, for example, with cars, right? There were Jeeps that were – a Jeep was hacked remotely. And the point there is Chrysler had to actually, again, after media coverage, recall 1.4 million vehicles and say, okay, we're going to do software updates because as we're developing these Internet of Things, Internet-connected cars, we have to take responsibility for this. So I don't think that the answer is you just can't trust anything.
The answer is media coverage from what you're saying.
Well, no, I think it's silly. I think it's kind of funny that that's what it takes. And I wonder more about, you know, where are the lawsuits here and the liability?
Well, maybe we'll hear from listeners on that score as well. Let's, in fact, begin to hear from our callers here. And, Paul, we begin with you. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I'd just like to get the security guy to repeat what the thing about turning off the download. That's the most important message for the consumers real quick.
Yeah, Andrew?
Yeah, so if you're using MMS messaging on your phone, your text messaging on your Android phone, there is a way for you to go into your messaging app, the stock app messaging, as well as if you're using Google Hangouts, you can go into the settings on that application and disable the automatic downloading and processing of these media files. If you were to go and click on the media file, it would still result in the exploit, but disabling the automatic fetching and downloading of the media will, in fact, prevent you from being automatically and silently exploited initially, especially if you don't recognize who the message came from.
I'm sorry, but, you know, my mind just keeps thinking about proprietary information. I mean, there is real peril there. There is right now real peril, isn't there?
Sure. Absolutely there is. And kind of to take on one of your points is that at Blue Box, though, we kind of just expect that devices are going to be vulnerable to exploits, and we kind of have this notion of a zero trust model on devices where there are all these exploits that are happening. And in that sense, it kind of puts the pressure on, while we do have this update problem on Android where it takes a long time for things to come out, we want to start looking at the app developers to actually start taking security in their hands and making sure that they're encrypting their data correctly so that even if an exploit does happen, the data, if it gets leaked, it is encrypted already and is protected.
But this is one of the most dangerous ever that we've come across, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, this is definitely a big one. Yeah.
Let me bring another caller in. And by the way, you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org. And here's Sinan. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Andrew. I have a question for you. What are the effects of exploit mitigations built into Android, such as ASLR, when it comes to exploitation of this vulnerability? I really don't buy that it's exploitable through MMS. Randomization is just going to get in the way. It just seems like a PR hype to me. What do you think?
Sure. That's a great point that you brought up about ASLR. So, in fact, the different versions of Android, actually, so this exploit, as far as we can tell from the information that's already been disclosed, is that if you're running an operating system that's less than 4.1, so the original ice cream sandwich version of Android, that is more exploitable than potentially the newer versions of Android, so your 4.1s, your 4.2s, up into your 5.0 and 5.1s. So the range in which and the severity of this vulnerability kind of depends a little bit on the version of the operating system you're using. So if you're using the most recent version, you're likely how exploitable this is going to be might be a little bit less because there are additional exploit mitigation technologies that exist, such as what you've mentioned with the ASLR.
And we thank you for that call. See, I'm looking at an online comment here which has some strong feeling behind it. Brian writes, Android is one of the worst platforms for security. It has so many security holes it's rather like a spaghetti strainer. People rely on these phones, but Google's computer professionals are too busy stroking their own egos, shopping for luxury cars, and insisting that users are stupid, and they are not. The real tragedy is that the mass media insists on encouraging them, and the irony is that whereas immature boys think they are invulnerable against all evidence and won't listen to naysayers, immature computer geeks largely believe that their code is invulnerable against all evidence and won't listen to naysayers. I'd say that's a strong editorial comment, but either reaction from either of you?
Well, I mean, my impression is that the Android security team at Google is really well aware of the fact that they have huge security problems. Have they solved it or not? And is their financial incentive trumping their security priorities? I mean, that's a very fair question. The fact is that Google's incentive is to push Android out to as many partners as possible.
And by the way, we invited Google and they declined. We should get that on the record. But go ahead.
Yeah. Please. And so, you know, if Google basically wants partners, they're not putting requirements on their partners for we have to regularly do these updates, these patches, whatever. They're just just like, hey, come use our operating system. We want to be number one in the world. So I think it's very fair to say that Google has prioritized growth over security.
Yeah. And here's another caller. Linda, join us. You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Linda, and I would like to know, for someone who's upgrading to a smartphone, is it better to buy an operating, for safety's sake right now, which is it better to buy an Android or an Apple-based operating system? Now, which one it tends to be, over time, more vulnerable to hackers?
Well, we're giving some consumer advice here. Either of you want to take the...
Sure, that's a great question. Both operating systems have their fair share of vulnerabilities in them as well. What it comes down to at the end of the day, though, is how quickly we can mitigate and protect against these vulnerabilities. So in terms of Android, depending on who you buy your device from, the manufacturer, and if it's the flagship device or if it's kind of a lower-end device, your update timeline will change depending on that. But in terms of kind of like an Apple and an iOS device, because they control the whole ecosystem, they can actually push out patches a lot faster than what we can see typically with the major Android manufacturers.
So, are there other remedies besides the patches?
There are some things you can do. You want to make sure that your applications are protecting the data that they are accessing as well. So even if your device does get exploited, there's low risk in what's happening. But at the end of the day, to really protect against these sorts of vulnerabilities that happen, especially kind of this one since it's so core down in the fundamental code of the operating system and the core frameworks, is that you do require an operating system update to fully protect yourself against it.
And here's Mark, who wants to know, what about Android tablets with texting capability? Are these devices also vulnerable to the hack?
Yes. So while the exploit was demonstrated with an MMS messaging, because of where this vulnerability exists in the media processing framework, which lets you play back video files, any other application that plays video actually will link into this library. So if your browser or potentially your YouTube app or other sorts of apps that play video files, this could be exploited through them as well.
Wasn't there some talk at first from Google, Arthi, about only 50% of a patch fix?
Well, it's interesting, actually. I had asked the researcher, now that you've told the company about this issue and actually provided patches, right, like you gave the solution, what's your guesstimate about how many will actually be patched? And he was like 20 to 50%. And I ran the 50% figure by Google, and they said that they thought that that was reasonable.
Here's a listener, David, who writes, security vulnerabilities occur in all computerized devices. The problem with Android is, although Google has released a patch, each phone manufacturer has to package the patch and pass it on to the cellular networks. The cellular networks then have to push the patch out. Mm-hmm. Most Android security patches never make it through all these steps, especially for phones that are more than a year old. There is no financial incentive for the manufacturer or cell phone carrier to do this. It costs them money, and they can't charge for it. Contrast that with Apple iPhones, where Apple makes security patches available directly to consumers for all phones sold in the last several years. So maybe that's an answer to the question about Android or Apple.
That's a great point. So in terms of whether or not there's a financial incentive, we have seen, especially with the public clamoring over this vulnerability, but even past ones, Master Key and Fake ID over the last 3 years or so, manufacturers do push patches out for these vulnerabilities, even to low-end devices. We've seen 2 or 3 year-old devices get patches that you probably never would have thought a patch was going to come out for again, but they have received them. So depending on the severity of it and how much people are actually complaining to their manufacturers about it, we have seen these patches come out in the ecosystem for sure.
There's something else. Again, I don't want to set off too many alarm bells here, but this is serious stuff we're talking about here. As far as I know, this bug or whatever, stage fright, whatever you want to call it, can actually be a worm. It can infect other mobile devices, correct?
That's one exploit technology, yes. So if the attackers were to create a worm out of it, they potentially could do it as well. Yes.
And we're not talking about a bug. We're talking about kind of a collection of bugs here, right?
Yes. You'd have to chain this exploit to another vulnerability and then write code that would do the worming. So there are several things that you would chain together, essentially. And that's kind of where exploits are being done now, is that you have to get through multi-layers of defense and mitigation technologies in order to fully do a lot of these new things, especially on the newer operating systems and things like that. So you'd have to chain against this one. Maybe someone else finds another one and so on and so forth.
Let me just give a quick rendering of what Google has put out as an official statement on this. As I said, we invited them, but they declined. They pointed out three things. The vulnerability was identified in the laboratory setting on older Android devices. And as far as we know, no one has been affected. As soon as we were aware of the vulnerability, we looked We took immediate action and sent a fix to our partners to protect users. Second, as part of a regularly scheduled security update, we plan to push further safeguards to Nexus devices starting next week, and we'll be releasing it in open source when the details are made public by the researcher at Black Hat. And third, and for those deepest on security issues who are interested, Adrian Ludwig, our lead Android security engineer, authored a G+ post with some related thoughts. Adrian's G+ post. Any response from either of you about those points from Google? I mean, they're trying to cover their tracks here and do a good PR.
I think that they're feeling pressure to respond, and they're responding. And I think that it'll be interesting.
Adequately?
Well, I mean, it's basically doubling the details over the next few months, right? Like, when we look at this in 1 month or 2 months, how many people will have actually gotten patched is sort of a question that I'm looking to follow, right, and sort of going forward.
And we'll bring on more callers. Ray is next. Ray, join us on forum. You're on the air.
Hi. So does this bug take advantage of any rootkits that are installed by the different manufacturers into the different phones?
So this bug could carry with it a rootkit or download a rootkit eventually to further exploit the device. So this bug essentially is your entry point into being able to run a rootkit.
Thank you for the question, Ray. Good to hear from you. We'll hear next from Wayne, who's joining us from Sacramento. Wayne, you're on forum. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a question about what could be done with this. I was thinking, could you make a code which would, as you send it to someone, it will send all the chat logs to another computer, as well as send the exploit to all the other phone numbers in the phone book of that phone?
Andrew?
Yes, that's certainly a possibility.
It's a plausible scenario.
It's a plausible scenario, correct. Yeah. It depends on how crafty the attackers are.
And thank you for that. Here's a question from Heather, who says, I access my manuscripts through my desktop. Does this mean my desktop is vulnerable?
Your desktop is not vulnerable to this vulnerability.
Well, that's heartening.
That's
some good news on the horizon there. Let me get Barbara on next. Barbara, thanks for waiting. You're on forum. Good morning.
Yes, I wanted to point out that this is an example of the risks of Internet voting in general and cell phone voting in particular. It would be relatively easy, I assume, to plant malware on voters' phones that could change the voters' selections without the voters' knowledge. And you know, there are a lot of people who are pushing for this kind of voting. It's incredibly dangerous.
Again, we're talking plausibility, are we not?
I mean, I think that a fair point is that technologies that use the internet to get stuff done are rolling out more rapidly than security built into them. That's an ongoing theme.
Yeah, unfortunately. Exactly. And let me thank Barbara for her call. I'll try to get another quick call on here. Stephanie, that's you. Andy, that's you. Welcome.
Oh, hey, thanks. I'm a software engineer. I just wanted to say in situations like this and much more generally, there's kind of a tendency to overfocus on security, and Android are excellent in various ways.
That's a software engineer giving the caveat about and saying some good things about Android. Thank you. We'll continue to watch this story. Thanks to Aarti Shahani, tech reporter for NPR, and Andrew Blaich, lead security analyst for Blue Box Security. And when we return on forum, we are going to shift gears. We're going to talk about big game trophy hunting in the wake of the murder of Cecil the Lion, or Cecil the Lion, if you want to give it this old British Zimbabwe pronunciation. We'll talk with a couple people from different sides on that. Stay tuned. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.